Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
This hour is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
Tim Jenkins.
I've got people real mad at me in Chicago that how dare you? There's a radio guy up there, Mike North. He was real mad.
Founder and CEO of Jenkins Elite.
I'm Tim Jenkins and welcome to All Things QB, where I watch every single clip and break down the most important ones today.
Breaking down the positives and negatives.
You've seen progressions that align with the quarterback's eye. I hope that's what we get more of, but I hope we continue to see some of these concepts and the way we build things are better for the quarterback versus just looks good on paper.
Tim Jenkins with Raheemi Harrison Grody on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Let's jump into the film.
We love jumping into the film with Tim Jenkins. He does it for us, and we actually get to have some good Bears games to discuss, so I hope he's happier. He is at T Jenkins Elite on Zoom. He is the founder and CEO of Jenkins Elite, and he also joins us on Twitch. Twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. Tim, I've got like 19 questions to ask you, so I'm going to try to simplify at least one of them. I felt like we saw a lot of similar concepts out of both the Commanders and the Bears offense yesterday. There was a lot of zone read. There were a lot of like OG spread concepts. Am I off on this and I was just fooled by their looks? Or how do you feel like what you saw schematically out of both teams? I feel like it was similar stuff.
Yeah, I think you're dead on. I do think there was a ton of overlap. I'm not going to act like I watched the Commanders this morning as well as I did, you know, as in depth as I did with the Bears, but I will tell you, you're dead on from the Bears perspective, right? I think they're doing a ton of it's hard to truly say true RPO because a lot of it's so dressed up with, like, to me, what feels like not really run pass option, maybe more called like run action. But yeah, at the end of the day, they're all running the same stuff. And then I think a lot of the shots, even downfield, you sat there and you were kind of like, okay, hey, we've seen this before, which I do think is a testament to our offense trending in the right direction, right? Where, you know, Washington's been explosive in the past. The fact that Ben's dialing up some of those similar concepts is, I think, a good sign, not a bad sign.
Well, and I also think, like, we talked about this in the week before, and I said perhaps the best thing you can do for your run game is if you know that your RB2 and RB3 maybe aren't up to snuff, like zone read. And I feel like there was a lot of either zone read look based on previous play action, based on previous run, or it was just outright zone read. I couldn't quite tell.
Yeah, and then I think the thing that I really like the most, honestly, and it's not even, you know, there's of course, there you have zone read when they're running Kayla, but the one thing that I've liked the most, the addition in the run game, is truly running Caleb. And I don't mean, I'm not sitting here like, hey, let's give him 10 carries a game and, you know, let's get him downhill. But those when you need it situations, the third and four that he goes and he gets with his legs, it's kind of more of a designed run. That goal line where he goes and, you know, the kid has a nose for the end zone. He goes and makes plays a bunch. I only know that because I take a lot of anytime Caleb Williams touchdowns. They're great. So, yeah, that's where I tell you I've loved that addition from Ben. But to me, I think you guys are dead on. I was listening to the last segment, too, of there's a lot of scheme now that we're starting to see. It's all married together, and it's starting to make a more efficient offense, right? Whether it's the zone read elements of it, the RPO, you know, hey, just the way we're actually blocking up run it runs, we're doing a substantially better job now than we were week one, which I think we all really wanted to come into the season knowing, right? We knew we would progress. Living, it's a whole different story, right? We all want to preach patience and all this other jazz. Actually being patient when you drop a couple games that you feel like you should win, that's a whole different thing. But I do think you're dead on with the zone read, and I do think you're dead on with just the way we've been dressing up some of these run plays.
And Tim, I like to take the progress thing because, you know, my thing is Caleb over everything and try to see every week, do I feel like progress was made? And I say, the Raiders game, it may not have looked like a whole lot of progress was made, but hey, they survived and won a game, and they did it on the road. And here you had a superior opponent to the Raiders, obviously, that you go to their place. He goes back home. He gets it done. From a technical standpoint, though, how did you feel about Caleb's progress and development?
Yeah, I think, I mean, the Bears as a whole, let's start there. I think you're dead on with the assessment, which is, I don't think our quarterback played great. I'm not saying he played poorly. I don't think he played great, and we found a way to win a road game, which I think shows our team and organization trending in the right direction. From Caleb specifically, I don't think it was in – there was nothing that jumped off the tape that was, like, screaming bad. I tell you, when you really dive into the bads, you could say, okay, hey, the Rome throw on the deep shot, you've got to put it as a bad because we don't get PI. Now, we all know that's PI, right? Everybody gets the underthrown deep ball PI. But, it, you know, hey, we underthrow it, we don't get the call, you got to put that in the bad. The one that he tries to force the number two, the slot receiver slant, and it almost gets picked, that one to me was kind of one of those that's a real issue. You know, anytime you're working double slant, you work inside out. The inside guy, that backer jumped it. The outside guy's wide open. He's got to move on to that one. And then the only other two for me were, hey, he didn't catch a shotgun snap, which is 100% on him. The snap's not perfect, but we got to field that. And then the two-point play, he actually had his back. His back was actually wide open at the front pylon if he just plays on time. So that's really the only bad I saw. Everything else, you're sitting there and you're going, okay, hey, it's either a no grade from a protection standpoint or a route concept, or it was like, hey, that's a pretty dang good throw, a pretty good football. You know, you talk about some third down stuff that I thought he did a great job converting with his leg. So to me, I do think it was a good game for Caleb. I don't think it was one of those, you know, where you're sitting there and he really blew the doors off of it. But we can't have that expectation every week. We need to be able to win football games when our quarterback just has a solid day, and that's exactly what the Bears did.
One of the things that Troy Aikman mentioned multiple times was that Caleb would complete a ball to a receiver, but not put the receiver in a position to get yards after the catch, to catch the ball in rhythm. Did you notice that, and what is that a product of?
Yeah, I mean, you know, based on what I heard on Twitter this morning, I'm happy I was watching the game muted. I got to say, we got four little kids at home. I thought the vasectomy ad to start this segment was especially dialed up for me.
It does wonders. It'll do wonders.
You know, it was muted. I heard a lot of people said, hey, Tim, good thing you had it muted. It was tough. Troy was tough on Caleb.
It was.
Listen, there's a machete throw where you got the double deep over. He's a little bit behind DJ. You know, I agree. I think that ball's got to be in front. Simultaneously, I'm saying that from my office that's 72 degrees and no one's hitting me. And he's got a 305-pound guy in his face. So did I see like a ton of accuracy issues last night when I really dove in the tape? No, I didn't. You know, for every time you say, hey, Caleb's got to do a better job, that's behind DJ. You could also say, you know, if we catch that shallow cross that he drills right in the numbers, you know, to the second to last possession of the game, he's still running. You know, we score a touchdown. This game's not even close. So there was nothing that screamed out. There's nothing that jumped off the film to me. I think every quarterback in the NFL, you know, would like eight throws back a game. And I didn't see anything bigger than that for Caleb.
We're talking to Tim Jenkins. He is our film man. He is of T. Jenkins Elite on X. You can check out his YouTube breakdowns as well. And he watched the Bears game last night, so we always like to get into what he had to say. One of the nuggets that I think was important from the broadcast, Tim, that wasn't necessarily discussed publicly, because we're trying to figure this out now. I know you remember when there was a big discussion around Justin Fields changing his footwork and which foot he wanted forward toward the line of scrimmage when he was with Luke Getsy. Well, it turns out that was something that was brought up last night on the broadcast, was making sure Caleb Williams' footwork, Ben Johnson apparently very clear on this, that not even talking about the rhythm of it and the timing of it, but just that he wanted his left foot forward toward the line. Mm-hmm. Did you observe any of that and possibly the changes that we've seen when it comes to especially those throws to the perimeters?
Yeah, I think so. To me, I think that the thing that you want to take away from the Ben Johnson piece of that is that he has a stance on it, right? Ben saying, hey, I want your right foot back. For me, listen, I'll be honest with you guys. I've always been a left foot back guy. And the reason I say that is because defaulting your left foot back, you play in rhythm with, I hate saying it like this. You're going to catch more dumbo C's being right. Like if you put your left foot back more often than not, if the offensive coordinator hasn't thought about the timing of the concept from a quarterback's footwork perspective, you're going to be right more often. Ben Johnson's not one of those guys I'm worried about that with, right? He's particular. He says, hey, I want your left foot up, your right foot back. He's got a reason for it. I'm guessing he elongates some of his quick game, right? I'd be willing to bet they're not always 1 and 3 steps on slant. I'd be willing to bet they sometimes sneak up there and get to 5, and then Caleb's in a punch flip. From a technical standpoint, I think as long as your coordinator cares enough to tell you, that's what I wasn't convinced of with the old staff, with Justin, was they were like, well, Justin's comfortable. It's like, dude, I don't care what the quarterback wants to do. What is the timing of your offense? What are my feet? How are my feet supposed to tell me to get to this route? Because if I don't know exactly, to me, you should be able to just have a single zoomed in shot of Caleb and know exactly what progression he's on. And you can see that now. You can see where he's dialed in with that. So to me, it's more of a philosophical piece of where we should be happy that, hey, Ben has an opinion on it. They're executing it. In terms of, if I was going to be honest with you guys, if I was in the quarterback room, I'd really want to understand, hey, why are we doing our right foot back? Because I've always felt like it makes it to where you don't place a premium on footwork. It's more of like a feel thing, like when you watch an Aaron Rodgers type play. With that being said, Ben's not that kind of coach. He's not going to be like, hey, go with your feel. He's dialing in these guys exactly where they need to be. So to me, I think the right foot back, left foot back isn't as big of a deal which one's back as much as, hey, does your OC have a reason for it? And then are we tying our feet to our progressions?
And Tim, looking at what Caleb's been able to do, and now looking forward, I'm curious as you see the schedule kind of lightening up, what you're expecting in games like this one, for instance, this weekend at home against New Orleans. We know New Orleans has not been a good team so far this season, also with a first-year head coach. Is there some type of jump you are expecting, or is it just more kind of what we've seen from game to game so far? Because we had the bye week, which we knew there would be changes. Theo Benedet now starting at right tackle. And I feel like we see a big difference what this offense looks like from what it did before the bye.
Yeah, what I'd like to see the jump for Caleb specifically is I would like to get rid of the double slant that he didn't read correctly. I want to get rid of that one, and I want to get rid of the 2-point play. I want to get to the point where we're in the middle of the season and we're saying we don't bust progressions ever, right? We're exactly, our eyes are where they're supposed to be on every single play. In terms of, hey, how realistic is that? It's not super unrealistic when you look across the NFL at the elite quarterbacks. When you go watch some of these guys, and again, this isn't like a he's better than Caleb. It's just where they're at in the progression. You just don't see that kind of stuff with like a Jared Goff, with, the Mahomes of the world. Their progressions are always clean. You can always say, hey, I know exactly why his eyes are here. With that being said, no one's perfect when it comes to putting the football where it needs to be, right? So for me, that's what I want to see the next jump for Caleb. From an offense as a whole, man, I'm excited to see what they dial up as you kind of get a little bit lighter. You guys know, I mean, it's like every week Ben puts a little wrinkle on film that is, pretty darn fun to me. So yeah. I'm excited to see what kind of wrinkles they throw in, if they feel like, hey, maybe we have even a personnel advantage here too. It'll be exciting to see what they do from that perspective as well.
We're talking to Tim Jenkins. He is our quarterback whisperer. He is the founder CEO of Jenkins Elite, does the YouTube breakdowns too. And also, for all we talked about the offensive line last year, Tim, we hadn't talked about it much, and that's probably a good sign of things. What did you think of Theo Benedet's debut starting at left tackle in this game, and then just the line blocking overall?
Here's what I'll tell you I thought about his debut is didn't notice it, which is a good thing, right? You sit there and you go, hey, I didn't notice that guy. You're not singling somebody out. That's a really good thing. I mean, I'm going to be honest. I think they not only are doing a better job up front, I think we're putting them in better situations. We had a play where our center pops to take a hit off of Caleb. which is a draw, you know, what that means, like, hey, we're taking a couple steps on a run action. He peels back around to make sure this free runner can't hit Caleb. We did some really cool stuff up front from a schematic standpoint to put these guys in a great situation. But at the end of the day, it's like, you know, you can put a quarterback in a great spot, right? He's still got to make the throw. You can put these O-line in, you can put these linemen in a great spot. They still got to protect. And they did exactly that. And not only that, but they were blowing people off the football with how we were running it. So you think about it, we had a game sealing drive. We finally were the ones winning with a kick, you know, at one block, nothing funky. And the only Caleb Williams clip from that drive was a 6-yard like stick route. Everything else, we are just running it effectively. Like, that's a testament to the boys up front. So to me, I think the one thing I could say is they're not, it's not noticeable on tape, which means they're doing their job, which is exactly what you want from an NFL line.
Yes, it is. Tim Jenkins, thank you so much for joining us. And I know you got the 4 kiddos, so I know you stuck it out for us with your voice. So we appreciate that, too.
Thanks, Tim.
Yeah, sorry, I've been yelling at them all day. So, you know, we're on fall break over here. So you guys just keep me in the loop. Hopefully I'm back up and running next week.
Good luck with the vasectomy.
I'm not going to say let us know how it goes.
Yeah.
Tim, thank you so much. If you want to see more of his work, he is available on YouTube and at @TJenkinsElite. And yeah, man, it's just that time of year. I used to have a coworker where every time their kid got sick, I would get sick, but they wouldn't. Like, that's just what happens, man. Wow. It's that time of year for the kids. For the kids.
Darn
and then
kids.
Your voice. Yeah. It's what happens. It's life.
I know. Life is kids.
Snip.
Kids is life.
Snap.
Snip, snap. Snippity snip. We can put an end to those kids real quick. Like,
oh, my word.
Snippity snip.
We had some funny comments on the Twitch chat, too.
How's the Twitchers doing today?
I'm glad to see everybody's having fun today, being creative, having fun.
What's up, Twitch mob?
Yeah.
Hello.
Hi, Twitch mob.
How you guys doing? Man, what's happening?
We're 100 strong today, yeah.
Yeah?
Speaking of mobs and Twitch mobs and such, you know what's next? It's a day after a Bears game. That's it. Robbie, how's it looking today? Can you give us a preview?
Oh, there's a lot of meatballs in there. Ooh, baby.
Robbie Tree's got some good grape jelly to go with those meatballs today.
That's a
grape
thing?
Grape jelly and meatballs?
Is it not a thing? Am I making stuff up again?
Did you just make something up?
Maybe I did black
you
out.
You just blacked out.
Maybe the texture is right from earlier. Maybe I'm drinking again. I don't know. I mean...
Does somebody say that to you?
Occasionally. I don't care. It's okay. I live life on life's terms. It's
like,
funny,
what
actually.
Are they what are they trying to do with that?
I don't know. It's the low-hanging fruit. It's okay. It's all right. I could take it or I wouldn't have brought it up.
You know, some of y'all think you're clever and you're not. And then others of you are really clever. So let's examine next on the meatball machine. Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Hey guys, check out this meatball machine.
In the spirit of our bounty from Honey Baked Ham, we decided to also have many meatballs for you. And Grody, text line is chiming in. You are correct. Grape jelly and chili sauce or barbecue sauce often being discussed in connection with meatballs.
Every once in a while, I get one right.
No, you get one right more often than that. It's just sometimes I'm not familiar with all the OG food stuff because, you know.
Well, you guys,
my 10-year anniversary is coming up in a couple weeks, and I've still got a lot to learn.
Is it a Chicago thing? I don't know. Maybe it is. If you guys had never had it before, and I've had it multiple times, maybe it is.
My mom makes the crock pot meatballs, but I don't think she does jelly. I think it's some sort of other like ketchup sauce thing that she does.
Okay.
Ketchup and Worcestershire, maybe?
Ooh, that's good, actually. Yeah. Ketchup and Worcestershire is great on meatloaf.
Grody, to be clear, when you argue with me, you're wrong. So we can keep that going.
That's a good way to start the meatball machine. Let's let it rip.
Yeah, so for the first meatball here, this is the second time he's doing it. We had Joe Buck on the call. We obviously had our friend Kevin Harlan on the call for West 1-1. We also had Brad on the call.
Alrighty, meatball machine. Here we go again. Watching the game-winning field goal attempt. This time the Bears trying to kick it. My live reaction... Here it is. Moody takes a step back, looking, no timeouts, 3 seconds left. Can we defeat the demons from last year? Yes, we can. Bears, 25-24 over the Commanders. Boy, man, this is the second consecutive game where this team has overcome stupidity, certain amounts of adversity, inexperience, and a whole bunch of other just nonsense. But here we are, another win, and on national TV, we let's not bury the lead. We didn't embarrass ourselves on national TV. Bears.
Yeah. Remember how Grody gave me so much hell because he was like, I don't know, man, not expecting the Bears to embarrass themselves on national TV is a pretty big ask. And let's listen here. That wide open touchdown play. I was getting a little concerned.
Wide open Luke McCaffrey.
That was a complete defensive breakdown. Also, when D-Rob got in coverage, I was like, I don't think a number 90 is supposed to be there.
Did we not think it was about to plummet when Jake Moody was blocked on that kick? And then the next thing is the Jalen Lane 37-yard play, and then Zach Ertz touchdown is 24-16.
The embarrassment levels were rising very quickly.
Yeah. I was like, Grody, you might have had a point.
No, you win this time, Raheemy.
Yeah, they did. They did not embarrass themselves. Although, please don't put Dominique Robinson in pass coverage again. Did you see Olin's tweet about that?
No. Did he have a classic Olin?
Like, it's just you have to know him enough to know. So if you listen to enough of his segments, you get it. He's like, not big on D-Rob and pass coverage there. Oh, no, he didn't even say pass coverage. He just said coverage, C-O-V-G. And I was like, that's a coach's note if I've ever seen one.
Dennis Allen is a wild boy. He'll be having people doing all kinds
of
things.
No, you know what? Matt Eberflus did that wild boy mess too, and it wasn't any good back then either. Like, that's the issue I have. Like, wasn't it Justin Jones in pass coverage twice against the Browns when Joe Flacco was QB? Yeah, he said, not big on Robinson in coverage. Like, yeah, to say the least.
Hilarious. I'm not big on Big Bill Andrew Billings chasing guys that have two steps on him either.
You don't think he's going to catch them?
Oh, I don't think so. Big Bill's on the run again.
If your number starts with a 9, but it doesn't end there, then I'm going to need you to not be in pass coverage. Like, and I get it. That was the assignment, but woof. Mm-hmm. Got a little dicey there.
Ooh-wee. So, Bear Down Chicago Bears was going through it tonight. On the one hand, we were Bear Down Chicago Bears, the normal song, and then we quickly devolved into the recorder version. And then it was a little bit more Bear Down Chicago Bears, put up the fight with the might so fearlessly, and then and just more of that horrible sounding thing before eventually Jaden Daniels went, you want the game? Here you go, guys. And then the Bears got the ball back, and eventually DeAndre Swift went down the field and ended it and got us in the field goal territory, and bang, boom, bung, get out of there. So they landed the plane just in time.
Bears.
So that was nice. Oh, and also the Brewers lost, so that's three more L's coming your way.
Can we talk about that random double play that may never happen again in my lifetime?
The 862?
How?
It hit the wall. Once it hit the wall, just can't catch it and make it a catch. So
they said grounded into a double play.
It's grounded to a double play.
You know what was cool? Dodgers win. Ah! Yeah, I did it. It's only fair. It's only fair.
I haven't seen that in a long time.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
So for this next meatball, it's a two-part meatball. And it's pretty self-explanatory, so I'll play part one.
Yeah, so down 24-16, I'm packing it up. I'm going to go to sleep because obviously our offense did. I remember we were up 13-0. I remember that game. I remember because I was sitting here watching it, and I knew not to get optimistic about it. You know, Ben and Caleb, this one's on you two. You know, defense did whatever they had to do, but, I mean, my God. That, and Dennis Allen. No, let's add him to this, too, because he can be God. They're figuring his out, too. This God.
And after further review this morning, we have a response.
After further review from the earlier message to the meatball, message going out to Layla, Marshall, and Grody, I was wrong. I was clearly wrong. I'm the one that made the effort to just shut it all down tonight, all mad and drunk and whatever. I have one word to say to you on the win. Bears.
Wow, that was like a three-act play. Also, who among us wasn't feeling some of that stuff during the game?
Oh, yeah. I thought the Bears were going to lose.
24-16.
Didn't you guys think the Bears were going to lose?
I did not. I had this as an L in my schedule.
There was a point during the game that I texted you guys the Reggie Miller choke after the Bears offense didn't come up with anything when they were in their own territory in the end zone.
I think it was post-Zacchaeus drop.
Yeah, it was the Zacchaeus drop.
Yep.
Well, also, that whole series was bad. Yes. Like, they get penalized half the distance to the goal. Then suddenly you're at a shotgun. You decide to run it up the middle with absolutely zero daylight. I was like, this is all bad.
I was waiting for holding in the end zone for the safety. That's what I was waiting for
I was waiting for them to feel real confident about running it up the middle, only for the running back to get pushed back into the end zone for the safety.
Is that the same drive where DJ Moore had the penalty on the Komet first down?
No. This is when they were deep in their own end zone.
My notebook is
not. So that penalty wasn't the deep in the end zone drive?
Oh,
you're talking about the DJ Moore offside?
Yeah.
No. That was earlier.
I just dial it up to my notes, and the first line is, this up the middle crap again, plus two, I guess? stream of consciousness.
Or maybe you're right, Grody.
Was that the DJ Moore penalty?
I'm looking right now. Look at those notes.
But they're also like, they're the writings of a
doctor,
crazy person.
Dr. Layla?
No. They're mad ranting. So let's get back to more meatballs.
We'll figure
this out.
I don't
want to ever have to hear the words fail Mary again for the rest of my life. Bears, way to get it done in the nation's capital. Ugly road wins are sexy AF in the NFL. You hear me? Ugly road wins are as beautiful as my wife on our wedding day.
Aww.
Thanks for showing up tonight, D-line. Hey, somebody call the best chiropractor in the city. DeAndre Swift's going to need it. His back has got to be hurting. Jake Moody, wowzers. Get you a Malort, bud. Welcome to Chi-Town. We got open arms for you. Speaking of open, this league, it's wide open. Bring on the Saints, FGB, Bear TF down, at Jake Unit 3. Brat's Dog's chops are done, and I am out, and the Bears are 3-2 and rolling.
Woo!
Well said, my friend.
Some men are nice, Layla.
Also, you were correct. Yeah. Yes, because I go play action to Komet, who battles for a first down. That's how you do it. Oh, no, the penalty is on DJ Moore. Williams got a different helmet. So, yes, you are correct.
Yeah, that was a weird little scary moment when Caleb goes running to the sideline.
To get grabbed.
I'm like, oh, no, we have communication issues. But apparently it was a smooth operation, just like a baseball player going to get a fresh bat.
And then at the end of the drive, I wrote, Tory Taylor better earn his damn salary. Awesome. 53-yard punt. 10-yard return.
He's had some nice punts this year.
That was a good one.
So we had pretty hefty-sized meatballs there. Let's get little hors d'oeuvre meatballs. Let's run through the rest of these meatballs.
Dessert
right
meatballs, if you will?
Yes.
Small like balls?
Like you're at a wedding and that's on a little... Yeah, right there. Meatballs.
Happens
yeah,
to
I
everybody.
Don't know. The eye test is kind of telling me, even though we won this game, that we might have had the worst quarterback out of the class. Anyway, go Bears!
Good, better, best! Never let it rest! Till your good gets better! And your better gets best!
I could use a couple shots, though.
I feel like we need to do that with the refrain. Can we play that one again? I know you got to dial it up, and it takes some time.
The previous guy sounded like Hans Molman from The Simpsons, the very first guy.
Oh, man gets hit in pelvis with football?
Yes. Yes. And this is the meatball machine on the score.
Wasn't that the one that won?
Was it the one that,
that was
won?
That the film that won on the film contest?
I'm not
on the
100%
Simpsons?
Sure. On
Where's
that
Adam Studzinski?
Are we sure that meatball was not from last year? Is he saying? I mean, that sounded like a very 2024 meatball, like saying that
the quarterback wasn't good enough,
right?
Yeah, it could be carryover meatball, yeah,
right?
Well, he could have recorded that same message last year and this year.
He took the meatballs, he had too many meatballs, he put that one in the freezer and he just took it out of the freezer and let it thaw out.
Vodka sock meatballs.
I don't like leaving people hanging, even on the meatball machine.
Do you want the good, better, best or the old guy, the old fart?
No, good, better, best.
Good, better, best.
Good, better, best.
Never let it rest.
Never let it rest.
Until your good gets better.
Until your good gets better.
Better gets best.
And your better gets best. Okay, thank you. Thank you.
I joined in.
I don't like people hanging like that.
No Moody Blues in Chicago. 3 in a row, baby. We're definitely in the hunt now. and how big are Ben Johnson that he ran the ball to get into field goal range? Three straight runs up Washington's to get into field goal range to kick the game winner.
Hey, I'm going to need y'all to put some respect on Jake Moody's name. Put some respect on Jake Moody's name. This guy's like the ultimate supervillain. He come in and nail a field goal after being called a bust. He come nail a field goal and break the Commander's heart like they broke mine last year.
Oh.
The Bears.
Was that a pep named Slipback?
Okay, we got controversial opinions here on who won the film festival on The Simpsons. I'll get to that later.
Yeah, I've seen hundreds, maybe thousands of football games, and that sure was one of them. Bears.
And that was a game. Oh, that's good. That might be my favorite one.
There are no words to describe how happy I am that they didn't lose that game.
Did the Bears the bed? Yes. Did the Bears the bed worse than Washington? No. Bears win. Bears win. Bears win. Let's go.
And the last meatball here, Grody, I think you have a new enemy here. You have a new enemy.
Oh boy, I'm ready.
Now, this is what I'm talking about. Go Bears! This is what I mean. Hey, Grody. Hey, man, sometimes it's good to win ugly, baby! Damn right! Let's go, Bears! I don't want to hear nothing but bear down!
Are you mocking me?
That was incredible.
I believe he is mocking you. Again, I think he's doing it quite successfully, by the way.
I will not let up on the bad win over Vegas. I think this was a very good win for the Bears.
People are still mad at you about your criticism about the Vegas win.
I know. That's all right. They'll have to live with it. We'll all have to live with it.
Thanks, all the meatballs. And thanks for letting us have some fun on the sidebar, too. That's when you know it's good, when there's other things to add to it.
I love it. We love the meatballs.
We do.
Mm-hmm.
No matter if you have grape jelly or not.
Right. Or a little bit of barbecue sauce mixed in with the grape jelly or the Worcestershire sauce with the ketchup. Just sounds good. I don't know why I'm sounding like Pat Hughes all of a sudden, but kind of went into that.
It's fun to have. Yes. What does he say?
Pat would be a great.
It's fun to have fun with names
or something.
It's fun
to have fun with names.
Chicago Cubs baseball is on the air.
Woo.
Live from Wrigley Field.
Okay. What's BFF?
That's my favorite.
Best friends forever? I don't believe you.
Speaking of what's BFF.
You potty mouth.
I think Jake Moody met the rest of his team last night.
You think?
We might want to get to the bottom of this. That's next as you are listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Tuesday presented by BC Bank and Grey Clips.
Now it's good to have fun with names.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Listen to Raheemi Harrison Grody on the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
Rain is falling, wind is blowing. The ball put down, the kick is up, knifing its way through the uprights, through the rain, and Chicago! Redemption in Washington! The Bears have won it! 25-24 on a 38-yard walk-off field goal by a kicker called off the practice squad today.
That was our friend Kevin Harlan on the call on Westwood One. We heard from him yesterday. And if you didn't know who Jake Moody was, you do now. He is from Michigan. And he is a Michigan football product as well. So nice reference, Robbie Triano. So we knew that about Jake Moody. But what did his teammates know? Let's start with DeAndre Swift.
How do you feel about Jake Moody, you know, knowing the situation, coming through in the clutch, you know, at the end there?
Amazing. I mean, I introduced myself to him on the sideline first time I spoke to him. But he did a great job. I don't know when he found out what his role was going to be today, but just coming in, resilient, man. Just proud of him. Happy to have him on the team, too.
What do you mean by focus yourself
to him? I haven't spoken to him since he got, basically. Yeah, straight like that.
Good on you for being honest, DeAndre Swift.
And you know what? What a way to get introduced to your teammates. Like, I don't know your name, but we are carrying you off the field. That's pretty good,
right?
In my
That's
opinion.
The new guy.
I don't know you, but now I want to know more about you. My name is Mark. How are you?
Yeah, that's going to be how you talk to him tomorrow.
And possibly. I don't
At
think
the
we,
hall.
I don't think we get in the locker room tomorrow, though.
Oh, is that Thursday?
I think so. If I saw the schedule correct, I could be wrong, but I think we'll have players tomorrow, Dallas Hall. We'll have Ben. I think we'll have Ben Johnson. So we'll make it a full day. I just don't know if I'll be able to have the usual autonomy.
Let's listen to what TJ Edward had to say about his new teammate, Jake Moody.
I haven't talked to him a bunch, you know. don't quite know him too well, but it's really cool to see. Obviously, Monday Night Football in front of the world, it's incredible. It is.
Well, what about QB1? Caleb Williams talked to Laura Rutledge of ESPN about him.
Caleb, you just were able to embrace Jake Moody. What can you say about what you thought when that kick was good?
Yeah, I really didn't know who he was when he first joined the team. And then I saw him kick a, like, 65-yarder in practice. And proud of him, happy for him, and happy for us as a team.
Well, no, but I don't want this to get out of context here. He did introduce himself once he saw him out at practice. He just didn't know who he was when he first saw him at practice.
Don't ruin this for us, Marshall.
They asked him in the post-game press conference, did you know Jake Moody before today? Of course I did. I met him at practice. He actually introduced, he's the quarterback. He's a leader. His job is to make sure he knows
who
the people
are. Well, this
is
where I call cap. I feel like any casual NFL fan kind of knows who Jake Moody is.
No.
It's just the guy who missed a bunch of kicks drafted in the third round. That's where, like, Caleb Williams, like, you should know who Jake Moody is.
You know what the narrative is?
What a sarcastic
hilarious?
Cap that was.
No,
that's
no, no.
Hilarious.
But
that
what's hilarious about this? This whole narrative, if
take that.
If the Bears had drafted him where he was drafted, how would we be talking about him? Because he was a third round pick.
Oh, a third round kicker drafted? Like, that's the thing. Other teams also make some bold decisions, to say the least, and you're like, oh, you can do that because you didn't make other mistakes. You just get to cover them up better. So why don't we hear from the man himself? This is Jake Moody. Get to know him in the post-game press conference on his interactions meeting the team.
Was that a common occurrence to have teammates tonight introduce themselves to you, just given, like, you just got here and the moment that you were put into?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a big team. Not going to get a chance to meet everybody right away, but, you know, like he said, I'm glad to be on the team, glad to be a part of this, and, you know, can't wait to formally meet everybody else at some point.
At some point.
Hey, that's the guy who won for us.
Here's how I imagined it after hearing all this. I was like, so wait, when they, like, run out on the field to celebrate, are they, like, grab him? They're like, wait a minute, you're not Cairo. That's how I imagined it happening.
I'm grabbing another man's thigh. Hi, Tanny. I know you're pulling that later. Piece of audio.
I already pulled that. I wrote it down.
Yep, uh-huh.
In pen.
Uh-huh.
Poor Jake Moody. Nobody knows who. I did see Jake Moody sitting by, like, throughout the... Was I there once or twice this week? I saw Jake Moody just sitting by his locker all by himself.
Saturday.
I guess that would have been Saturday. Yeah, just hanging out, doing open locker room, just sitting out there. Anybody want to talk to me? Anybody? It's hard to justify your time to the backup kicker. and apparently hard to justify it if you are one of the 53. Plus, because the practice squad, a lot of people like, well, where's the practice squad? Practice squad's all there. They're all in the locker room. All those guys, like, we see unfamiliar names all over the place hanging out in the Bears locker room, and there's little Jake Moody.
But it's a 45-minute window, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you got to get in and get what you can get.
And a lot of times you're waiting for somebody for a long time.
Exactly.
And then you don't have time to, like, break away from the pack, especially if, like, you don't have a microphone extender, you know, like a mic on a stick. If it's just you holding it, then you better make sure you don't move. If
you'll
need that
hurry
person.
Up and wait game.
Exactly.
As
yeah.
It.
Like,
you got to squeeze into the pile a certain way.
Right. And you hope, like, because sometimes you're right. You're like, in that case, I was waiting for Theo Benedict, because I thought, like, got to get Theo Benedict, because we just found out that he was going to be the starting left tackle. I can't, like, do I take a chance and go start a conversation with somebody else in the locker room in the middle of it all?
And it still wouldn't have been Jake Moody.
It probably would have been Jake Moody.
Aw, Jake Moody.
It would not have been Jake Moody on that day. Who would it have been? Well, Saturday was tough because there wasn't a lot of people, but just enough to talk to.
Well, and that's it. You already were kind of gaming the system for us.
I did.
By going on a Saturday. And then we got a little bit more out of Ben Johnson than we normally get.
Yeah. Like, he was having fun with us. Yeah, it was on Saturday, and there wasn't maybe like 7 or 8 reporters even bothered to show up. And
are you calling out your fellow press corps?
No, I've missed many Saturday press conferences, trust me.
It was Grody and sarcastic Jason Leisure.
Yeah, Leisure. There was a few other people, too.
Leisure was bringing it.
Yeah, Leisure and I were having
was
our
Emma
little...
there?
No, of course Emma was. No, Emma was there for a while.
Yeah. Say, of course he wasn't.
No, but
there.
He Splitsville.
Throws him under the bus.
He Splitsville early because he was going to the cover the Cubs game. That was the same day as the Cubs game.
Oh, he was on his way, right?
He was on his way. So I will give Emma full credit for being there, even though he was not in the open locker room. Didn't bother.
How'd you guys feel, though, that Jake Moody in his post game interview was still wearing his helmet? Just couldn't take it off. He was still like he was in the battle.
I loved it so much. I brought it up on the Take the North podcast. I was just like, he's just a baby. Like, that's how I felt about it. I was like, oh.
Yeah, by the way, like, pinch. We just finished our show here. Ooh. We're wrapping it up. We've got transition coming up. But if you want to hear the, like, three of us, like, you haven't heard anything we've talked about with the Bears, go back on the Odyssey app for sure. But also Take the North. We give it to you in, what was it, about 25 to 27
oh, no,
minutes?
It was 30 minutes.
Oh, it was 30 minutes.
I was like, Grody, are you going to end this? You told me it was going to be 20 minutes. Yeah. I don't want to make people mad that it's too long.
I know. Well, we were doing our game balls.
Bumped
each of us
that.
Had a.
We had game balls to give out.
I thought Marshall, I won't even say who it is, Marshall had a outside of the box, a game ball was given on the Take the North podcast that you may not have predicted. So check it out.
You may have predicted mine.
And you probably
yes,
predicted mine.
Both
yeah.
of yours.
Yes. We were Captain Obvious.
He's just a baby.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Little Jake. Little JM. I think I did go with DeAndre Swift because you left him on the board. But I like Marshall. Check out Take the North, please.
DeAndre 100% deserved a game ball. Ben Johnson gave him one, and I think he probably cares more about that one.
Absolutely.
To be fair.
Shout out to Dan Weeder, too, who could not be with us on Take the North, but we love Dan Weeder.
Hi, Dan.
Yeah. Is he going to tell you who his game ball is for? Are you guys going to do a follow-up?
Ooh, tomorrow we will be recording the podcast, so I will get more from Dan and all of his thoughts. I always love getting Dan's insights on these games because he was there. Yes, he was.
Love it. You know who else is here? Lawrence Holmes and Matt Spiegel. They join us next.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.